taken style, yes?
No.
Okay, well, let me get to go grab this. This is on my Canva. So let me go grab this. Canva. All right, here we go. Where is it? Espirito Santo. I don't know why I keep saying that. I'm just very weird. Okay, what do we got up in here? Where is it, carajo? Okay, here we go. This is the charting method. No, this is the Cornell style method. So what's going to happen here? Do you see that? This is how you're going to break up your notes. I need you to make sure that you write your notes in the left-hand column, okay? And you're going to write the dates, the names, the theories, the questions from the students, the answers from the professor or answers from students, okay? Cities, states, countries, anything that is a big main idea, put it in the left column and put only the details to it in the right column, okay? Separate your notes like that, because at least you know and know where you're going to navigate and say, oh yeah, she mentioned theory number one or 1761, write that down. 1800, write that down. 400 BC, write that down. These are the big things that you're going to have to write down, okay?
Okay.
And then from there, we're going to break down a couple other things that I'm going to show you. As a matter of fact, I need to hurry up and jump in this Zoom if I'm not already there. Okay, here we go. Okay, calm down. All right, here we go. So what I'm going to do, yeah, I'll share my notes after. So nonetheless, what I'm going to do, you're going to see a couple of things. I'm going to write everything left-hand column and this and that, okay? I wish I could do a
sign. Yeah, you want me to do two columns as you have in that Canva? Or
Well, the thing is, I'm going to show you my notes right after this, and we could go over our notes and see exactly what you did, what I could do, if my answers are good enough, if yours are not good enough, et cetera, okay? So okay. Take notes on a piece of paper with me, okay? Do that two column. Again, you're probably going to be a little bit lost at the beginning. It's all good. I will show you my notes and then you're going to say, oh, like that. Yes, like that. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's do it. Tres, dos, uno.
Part of a lecture in an art history class.
Oh, how boring.
I'm sure you've all been to a museum where you've seen beautiful white marble statues sculpted by the Greeks and Romans. Or at least that you've seen photos of such statues, right? We have come to expect these classical Greek and Roman statues to be monochrome, just one color, white skin, white hair, white eyes, white everything, the natural color of the marble they're carved from. Now, the ideal of plain white sculpture goes back to 15th century Europe.
Here we go.
When Renaissance artists rediscovered ancient Greek and Roman culture. They were inspired by sculptures that appeared monochrome, so they created white marble statues. The impact of these Renaissance statues, such as Michelangelo's David, gave rise to new standards for sculpture, standards that emphasized form rather than color. But what if many of those ancient statues were originally polychrome, colored from head to toe? Early in the 19th century, archaeologists found traces of paint on ancient sculptures, and since then, classical art historians have begun to realize that Greek and Roman marble sculptures were originally colored. Even if an ancient marble statue doesn't have any visible traces of paint, that does not mean it was originally monochrome. In many cases, the pigment would have simply deteriorated. Ancient artists used mineral-based paints with organic binding media that would have disintegrated on its own over time. In other cases, the pigment may have been weathered away while exposed to the elements, or someone may have rigorously cleaned the statues and unknowingly removed the last traces of pigment. So, the fact is, we do have evidence of polychrome sculptures from Greece and Rome from the 7th century BCE all the way through at least the 3rd or 4th century CE. It's now generally accepted that most, maybe even all, marble sculptures from that time period received some kind of surface treatment like the application of pigments, colored stones, or metals that would have modified their color. So, do we interpret a statue differently if we know it had originally been polychrome? I feel strongly when it comes to this. A marble sculpture that had been colored has another layer of meaning that was meant to affect the viewer. As art historians, we must try to interpret the intentions of the artists. What were the artists trying to achieve? Certain features of the sculpture were highlighted through color, were made to stand out. In other words, they caused the viewer to focus on certain features. And certain colors represented certain things to the ancient artists and cultures. A color might symbolize heroism, divinity, or youth. One example to consider is the statue of Roman Emperor Augustus. This particular statue of Augustus that I'm referring to was discovered just outside of Rome in 1863 and was in terrific condition. It's about 2 meters tall, just larger than life size. It was made from an expensive, high-quality type of marble and was obviously carved by an expert. Now, it still had visible traces of color on the hair, eyes, and its clothing and armor. The paints have been very carefully studied, and it turns out that the colors weren't just from any pigments. They were from expensive pigments. The use of these pigments showed the importance of Augustus and that he should be honored. And let's consider the extensive traces of a red pigment that were found on the statue's cloak. The cloak's a special garment that was traditionally worn by an emperor on the battlefield, and in real life was a red color, which, to the Romans, signified the emperor's authority, military and political authority. Okay, I won't point out any further details about the colors on the Augustus statue, because you can already begin to see that there was cultural importance associated with the colors. Symbolism, which should help us understand the statue better. There are many, many more sculptures that have traces of pigments left on them, and we have the technology these days to be able to carry out effective studies of these pigments. There's a lot of work to be done, but it needs to be done fast. Like I said before, these pigments deteriorate rapidly. So we really need to do the research before the traces are gone so that we can increase our understanding of ancient polychrome sculptures and the cultures which created them.
Wow, wow, wow. What do you think? Was that hard?
Well, Arsenio. You know, my last listening, it was in June last year. Almost 1 year.
Yep.
Month without practice and listening, so I took all these notes.
Yep.
Very bad. Okay. Like I just did a column and I start to write. Like if you ask me if I understand my notes, I don't know what I wrote.
Because you're trying to write down everything. Now check out my notes. A little bit different. Now let me hurry up and go over everything because you know what? To be honest with you, I'm not one of those people where I'm just like, oh, I have to try to write down everything. I really don't care about that, right? I don't care about needing to write down everything or anything like that. My goal is just to write down to a certain extent the amount of different, what is it, the different dates and stuff over here to the left and just make sure I focus on these little individual details and results. So the first thing I wrote down was monochrome, which is one color white. And it reminds me of Turkmenistan. Turkmenistan is the country where everything is white. All cars are white. Everything needs to be white. If it's not white, and you have to get it out of the country, right? So, anyways, it goes into the 15th century Renaissance. They rediscover, inspired something about impact, David, and then the new standard in terms of probably things polychrome. So I wrote down a couple of things there just in case. And then the next one, I wrote a line. And then next thing you know, it's talking about polychrome, two colors, the 19th century. There was a paint in the Greek origin, or you know, from the Greek or the Romans, things were actually colored, right? And so next thing you know, there was some organic bits, there was pigments, it could have weathered away, or it could have been cleaned too. And then I go into the 7th century, and then it said 7th century BCE to the 4th century, I guess AD, I can't remember. There was some surface treatment, or they could have modified the color. They started talking about the interpretation. This is very important. Why is it important? Because, well, it could have been conveying something to the viewer. What's the meaning? What is it trying to achieve? Why is it trying to stand out? Some colors represent heroism, youth, different things like that. But then again, there are other colors. Give me 2 seconds. I don't know. What is going on? Oh, okay. I thought that was me. Is there a motorcycle? I thought there was a pack. Oh, okay. I thought it's a package delivery. Okay. Anyway, so then you got the example of Augustus in 1863. Now, this statue was found to be in great condition. Marble, expert, all that stuff. It was actually colored by expensive pigments. Okay. And that's pretty much what I got down. Then a cloak equals red equals authority. So there's a lot of cultural importance and symbolism behind colors. And then he talks about at the end about tech today, blah, 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 blah. So there are different segments, but guess what? The first question is always going to be that just purpose question. What is it mainly about? What is the lecture mainly about? White color, different colors of different sculptures, or how we believe, we assume that it was just white, but it's more color. It's something it revolves around colors and stuff like that. Right. And so you have to be able to summarize in your head. Okay, well, to be honest with you, I think it would probably be, you know, this instead of, you know, and you're just recreating a summary in your head so you know exactly what you're going to look for. Okay. And by the way, I didn't even share the sound. I'm so sorry. You probably didn't hear it so well. Whoops. Okay. All right. So I'm sharing the sound now. You heard it? Okay, good. Fantastic. Okay. All right. So here we go. Let's do this. What is the main purpose? See, it's a little bit different, right? So I'm going to go to, remember what I just talked about. The main purpose is to make us understand that, well, you know, to be honest with you, we thought that everything was white, but maybe it's colorful. So let's look for something that revolves around that to explain why a particular statue, this is not just about a statue.
I'm in between B and C.
Okay, B, to discuss how classical Greek statues looked in ancient times, could be, because that revolves, looks means color, could be. C, to describe the types of pigments, that's very specific, though. And artist apply, artist wasn't even mentioned. So I'm a little bit scared of C. D, to explain the shift of monochrome to polychrome statues. Well, it wasn't a shift from monochrome to polychrome. Monochrome was mentioned just, like, we're talking about the whole thing, so B is good. What do you think? Boom.
B.
So at least now, I love working backwards forwards, just like my reading. When I looked at A, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. It's not about a Roman emperor. When I looked at C, or when I looked at B, it said, looked. And look, I remember the colors. So it related to that. I was like, ooh, yeah. Yeah, the whole looking and colors thing, I kind of like that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then C, you're probably wondering, you're like, Ursula, but man, why did you end up like, you know, eliminating C? It's because it's talking about things that are applied. It's talking about application. Like how to describe the types of pigments that were applied. Okay. Give me a name of an artist that applied specific pigments to Greek and Roman, and it must cover the entire passage. See, I said, absolutely not. Ain't no goddamn way that's the answer. And then D, monochrome, polychrome, it's about color, 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 color. And the only thing that I saw was that look in B.
Look.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It's looking at that because, again, you already got a 23, so we got to see what we could do a little bit better. Now, if you looked at my notes and everything.
How many listenings? I'm going to guess 6?
Five. It should be 5, but if they're going to count. Just in case they give you 6. So yeah, it should be 2 conversations.
And Arsenio, I don't remember. It's like one conversation and conversation is, right?
2 conversation and 3 lectures.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations are a little bit easy for me.
Good, good. So that's why I always jump into lectures. I don't even do conversations anymore with my students. I'm like, if you can't do conversations, you better go talk to Jesus. Go talk to Jesus, baby.
Yeah, like conversations are very easy.
Good. All right. I like that. Why does, this is a rhetorical purpose question. This is what I'm supposed to be adding to my listening course. So rhetorical purpose questions, what's going to happen is whatever is stated in the question, I'm going to look slightly above because and why was this little bit even mentioned to begin with? It says here. He mentioned statues created by Renaissance artists in the 15th century. Remember that? The mention, and now I wrote that down, 15th century, and I wrote down Renaissance in my notes. And it was something about rediscovery, inspire, and something about impact. And I wrote down David.
Yeah, I wrote Michelangelo
Right.
standard.
Now, before that, it wasn't talking about color just yet.
No.
So I'm a little bit scared of A because it's talking about emphasize the importance of color. Color wasn't even mentioned yet until the 19th century.
Correct.
So I don't like A because it's actually mentioned after. Remember, before the 15th century and the Renaissance, the monochrome and the white color and the white, the one color and the white was the only thing that was mentioned. So he's just giving a little bit of background to explain the method used to determine the age of a statue.
No.
No, I mean, he did mention David, but I didn't write anything about a statue down. To point out the origin of the belief that ancient marble statues were monochrome was the first thing that I wrote, and it's up.
Yeah.
That if it's a rhetorical purpose question, ever said before, that would be the absolute answer. D, to point out that Renaissance artists, you did not meant, hold on, used other materials. Oh, hell no, it said nothing about marble. That no. So, to be honest with you, C, like I told you, remember my notes. I wrote down monochrome in the left-hand side of my Cornell notes style. After that was the 15th century and Renaissance. This is a rhetorical purpose question, just as it is in the reading. Why does the author mention this to begin with? It has to be in relation to the heading before. The only thing that I wrote above that was the monochrome. I'm looking at something that relates to monochrome, and the only answer that has monochrome is. See, that's how you do it. That's a rhetorical purpose question. Now you understand. Oh, so it's nothing after? Fuck no. Unless the Chinese on this website are dumber than a motherfucker. Okay, it is nothing after. It must be before. Or the Indians are out to scam us. It's either one or the other. We don't know what's going on. Is the Chinese the Indians? I don't know what the fuck. Okay, but it's a rhetorical purpose question. And this should always work no matter what. Okay, so let's keep it going. Are you following me? You're like, holy shit.
Yes.
No, I'm
No, I
amazed.
am.
All right, so here we go. Let's do this. What are two reasons that ancient statues may, well, I'm sorry, ancient statues may no longer have any visible traces of paint? Well, if I go back.
According to the professor, what are the reasons that ancient studies may no longer have any? Okay.
I wrote down in the 7th century and fourth to the 4th century, surface treatment modified color. Or if I go down a little bit further, oh, I don't want to go down too far because I feel like I'm going to go into another area. I thought it was something about cleaning too.
Like I'm pretty sure that B, I have it in my notes.
Even look
I
at.
think it's B and D.
Okay, the paint was accidentally removed during cleaning. Yes, surface treatment. Museum curators intentionally removed the paint. I didn't write down
No.
intentional. The paint eroded away. Marble absorbed the paint. What? So it's between A and C. It's either eroded or the curators intentionally removed it.
No, I have here, like in the 7th century, marble sculpture affect the viewer.
Got it. I found it.
Well, I'm not sure.
Pigment weather. Pigment weathered. Pigment weathered means
Okay.
eroded.
Oh.
And then cleaned. Now, D, I love, but
See, the
about,
100%.
and I don't know who the fuck is a museum curator. Let me know. I'm gonna ask you this. Where did you write down museum curator? Show me in your notes. Where did you
No,
write?
I didn't. So C is not like I discard
Fantastic.
C.
So what are our answers? A and D.
Oh, A and D. The marbles of the paint over time.
So I was between two. I was lucky because I found that it said pigment weather, and I know that pigment paint eroded, weathered. I would have eliminated C no matter what because I did not write down museum.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. You have to master that art. It's all about that
Yeah.
history, right? Okay. All right, here we go. That were once painted. Ooh, what is the professor's opinion about statues that were once painted? Ooh, well, the thing is, how can we interpret it? Another layer, meaning achieve. What are they trying to stand out? What is the viewer focused on? This and that. There we go. So let's see. A, they should be judged by their form. I don't know if he said that. I don't know if he implied that. They should be interpreted with the artist's intentions in mind. Yeah. They should be fully restored to their original colors. Well, he didn't say anything about that. Mm-hmm. He wants to preserve it. They probably represent only a small minority of classical statues. I did not write that.
No.
So
C and D, no.
So you don't like C?
They should be fully restored to the original colors. They should. I didn't write nothing about restore.
Okay. All right. Now, what about A and B? So what do you think between A and B? They should be judged by their form rather than their color, or interpret with artist's intentions in mind?
I am not sure. I hear something about A.
Okay, so you
I like A.
Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. They should be judged by the form, not by their color, but he talks a lot about color, so I'm a little bit confused. And I believe B. You know why? Because the thing is, he said right here, another layer of meaning. What is it that the author, what is the painter trying to achieve? Why is it stand out? The viewer focus. So he's focusing on the perspective of the painter more than anything. That's why B fits that. Because it must begin with the intention of the mind of the artist, because he wants to know, like, okay, what is he trying to achieve? This. A little bit more confusing, but nonetheless. All right, but at least you're between A and B. That was very good. Okay. That was very good. You hurry up and eliminate it. What is it? C and D. So that was fantastic. Good job.
That's, you know, I am good in between the correct and another one. But I don't know why I always pick the other one and not the correct one. Like in my process of eliminate, I am pretty sure.